Red Film Radio.
Red Film Radio.
Interview.
Interview.
Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the Europe Orient Documentary Film Festival in Tangier, Morocco. And I'm very pleased to be joined by director Ahmed Zaradesht, who is presenting his film Nowhere to Hide. Thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Our listeners may not be familiar with your film yet, and I'd like for you to maybe introduce it to them and tell them as much as you'd like to say about it.
The film is about the post-invasion in Iraq. We start from 2011 up to 2016, the end of 2016, where the film stops. So I'm following the changes after the American invasion pulled out, and by that following a family and a medic who work in one of those very hardly inflicted by war, internally also by militias and conflicted area, Jalawla. So through him, while he's working in the emergency hospital and following him up to the end where he also lost everything and end up in an IDP camp. Yeah. So it's a 5-year journey by following him, and I coached him also to document his part of his life. Because I could not be there all the time and I wanted to first time information. So he provided with unique pictures, topics that only a person live a war directly can bring that footages out.
Mm. We'll talk about this aspect a little later on in the interview, but first I'm just kind of curious of how you met the protagonist of your film.
Nuri Sharif, he was part of a team that I had in the beginning, back in 2010. We had another idea for this film. I wanted to portray the war in Iraq with the presence of the American. So for that, there were areas internally and activists, NGOs, doctors, call it no-go zones, that you cannot go in there because of the tension and the level of the conflicts. But we wanted to document from there anyway. For that, I teach 12 medic, including Nuri Sharif, the main protagonist in the film. Coach them how to document by the mobile phones and small cameras just cases. But when the American pulled out, so the course of the film changed because we were not expecting they leave. Then we had to adapt to the change in the course of the film. We all thought that there will be a positive end because when the major conflict caused, like the American presence in Iraq was a major problem in itself. So once that vanished, we all expected that the war will be end and then the building the country will start. There were a lot of positivity in the air. But it didn't went that way, unfortunately. And then the war got into the group that I was using and getting some of the material. And Nuri Sharif was one of those inflicted by the changes, yeah. Mostly. So he was in one point of the process, he was the real face of the war in Iraq. So I twisted the film and I changed it to be a portrait of a guy trying to survive war.
That's right, because the film begins with a sense of hope, and then gradually that hope vanishes, and it's heartbreaking to see it directly. I mean, you said yourself that you didn't expect things to go that way. So you didn't know what you would end up, where this film would go.
Yeah, you know, documentaries are always like that. You know, you don't know, you cannot predict. But the change in the film, because the film was about a bigger topic than a documentary film. So lots of change happened during a short time. And I could not stop the film, because each time there was something new, was even more important to stay. Yeah. When I was witness to that change, so I realized that that could be the film, that could be the real documentation about what's the civil people and civil society going through. Yeah. So that was the main course, without knowing how it will end, how it will. It was more brutal than I thought.
Yeah, and in my opinion, it's also a story that is not told. There's a tendency to just ignore that side of things. I mean, do you agree that maybe in your film we see things that many people in different parts of the world don't even know about?
Yeah, that was one of the reasons that I went for that topic. But, you know, I'm a documentary filmmaker, and I'm also an activist, a humanist. I always go for those things that I feel I should contribute with it, whatever it is, without considering the nationality or the border or the origin of who you are making the film about. It's as long as they are, you know, like touches you and you feel like you can do something about it.
Yeah.
For us, having the power of documenting, like to know how to talk through images and bring that out, it's in itself, it's a powerful tool. It's a weapon. Sometimes you need to use it, because lots of people don't know. And why they don't know about it, it can be many reasons for that. Especially for Iraq, it's more about once the American went there, everybody went, including many journalists, and just to follow, because that's one of the giant power in the world, going to a country, invading it. And once they pull out, everybody forgot that. And generally, people generally don't think like how the local people think. When a war ends, like when a war between two countries or whatever ends with the paper, and then either the one give up and then surrender, and then the other one the winner, or they get to an agreement, they leave, the troops leave, and you know, mostly people think the war's over. But usually another war starting once the army pulled out, and then the peace process starting, because there are thousands of fields of minefields and tens of thousands of orphans and families destroyed, thousands of handicaps, many houses destroyed, poverty, sickness, and destruction. So that's another type of war, when usually media, mainstream media, don't focus on it.
No.
And my obligation as a human being first, and also as an artist and as an activist, I think that's where I feel I can contribute. Like, it's also part of my obligation as a human being. So we are trying to make those people don't know about, to at least get an idea about how it looked like in Iraq, for example.
When you mentioned that documentation is a weapon, the word weapon is ambivalent, because it can be used as a thing to really, you know, to protect yourself, to show people, to fight back a force. But can it also be dangerous?
Like in my case, that's also been a question of sometimes, like, ethical questions about using civilians, normal people, like civilian journalists, like from anywhere. you know, trying to give him a weapon, a camera, trying to teach him to document, to bring out, because sometimes that's the only way. Sometimes you have to push the borders. In my case, those people, and especially Nuri, the main character, they were living in danger every day. But I only needed a motivation. I only needed a person who wanted to tell. I could not stretch the border as much as going convincing a person to document. For me, that was beyond the limit. But I needed somebody who has a need of telling, but he don't have the tools. Yes. And I provide that tool to him. And I will do that again, you know, whatever, in, not only in Iraq, but also elsewhere when it's needed. Because that's a part of being in a big, together in a bigger society. But dangerous, war zones are always dangerous, you know, like a medic in Iraq with the camera, without the camera, his life in danger anyway. Yeah. And you need to find ways of doing it, and that's my work, how to bring the material out without, you know, how to make a film without costing life. Luckily, in this process, nothing happened. I'm very glad for that. I'm very thankful for that. But if something like that happened, that should be based on the need of telling that story from the point of view of the civilian themselves. So this is the ethical thing. That's how I am defending that. You know, as long as you want to tell me something, you desperately want to tell and put me in a position where I am feeling kind of immoral to not give you the tools, because you are witness on something, and I am supposed to be the one also being in your side. So that's the thing. For me, it was more immoral to say no to Nuri Sharif and let him document more. So that's the situation, which is unfortunate, but it's you need to do that.
On that note, thank you very much for joining us, and I urge all our listeners to watch your film, Nowhere to Hide. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.